Dialogue 1. Amy meets Joshua at a department store.
Hi, Amy. I never expected to come across you in a department store. You always say you find shopping depressing.
That's because the more I shop, the less I can make ends meet. But today I have to get a birthday present for my mom, and it has to be nice to make up for the fact that her birthday was yesterday. Anyway, it's a relief to see you here. I need you to give me some inspiration.
So, you decided to nose around here. Well, I have numerous ideas. First off, why don't you get her a bunch of orchids for her birthday? They're quite unique.
She loves flowers, but she despises cut flowers because they're not environmentally friendly.
Then how about a box of chocolates? You know she's a chocoholic.
Yes, but she's very health conscious these days.
Scientists claim that dark chocolate is beneficial to your health. Anyway, good luck with your shopping. I've got to head for home. Hang in there.
Dialogue 2. Amy talks with a shop assistant about chocolates.
I've never seen so many chocolates in one place. I like the sophisticated cover on this box and the contemporary look of this one. These are designed to stand out. They fascinate me. And these have an infusion of cherries. They are so fragrant. Are all these chocolates organic?
Yes, they're all additive-free, which means that they are preservative-free, too.
How about the sugar content?
These here are virtually sugar-free, and these have no sugar at all. If I had to single out the healthiest, I would recommend this one.
My friend insists that chocolate is nutritious. If that's true, it's remarkable.
I can reassure you that a small amount of dark chocolate each day is good for you. People usually buy these chocolates as a luxury to eat a little at a time.
Dialogue 3. Amy celebrates her mother's birthday.
Happy belated birthday, Mom. I'm so sorry I forgot about it yesterday.
Thank you, Amy. Oh, chocolates. Amy, you know I have a chocolate addiction, but I stick to a healthy diet these days and I have to cut down. I don't want to be concerned about getting diabetes. That can be fatal.
Don't worry, Mom. I can guarantee that these are good for you.
So I can indulge without feeling guilty? They do look tempting. Perhaps I can lapse for a little while. I've rarely seen chocolates that look so impressive. Let me look at the manufacturer. Oh, yes, they're a reputable brand. Let me try one. They have quite a subtle flavor. Not bad.
Admit it, Mom. They're great. I knew I'd win you over.
Dialogue 1. At a restaurant.
What an utter delight. I approve of your choice of restaurant, Amy. I'm also glad you don't underdress when you go out. You have a good fashion sense.
It's a privilege to hear that after years of hearing otherwise. Thanks.
No, thank you for taking me out on my birthday, though, to be frank, I don't think you can afford it.
Nonsense, Mom. I just got my bonus, so I can easily make ends meet. I can even treat my baby brother.
Your 17-year-old baby brother. Hey, what a cool place. Look at those weird paintings on the wall.
That's abstract art, Ben. This one's by Jackson Pollock. He was an outstanding powerhouse of the 20th century who wanted to shake up the public perception of art. He's definitely underrated. I worship his work.
Yeah, whatever. It's pretty alien to me.
I'll start with the escargot. They look irresistible. I could eat them all up.
You eat snails, Mom? Are they even edible?
Escargots are a French delicacy, Ben. Try one. I'll demonstrate how to eat them.
No, thanks. I'll settle for a hamburger and french fries.
Pass me an escargot, Mom. I'll give it a go. Unlike Ben, I don't crave junk food. Not bad.
I feel nauseous just watching you.
Dialogue 2. Amy and Ben at home by the TV.
Man, I'm full after that massive meal. What are you watching? It looks like some nasty medical experiment.
It's a hospital drama. This woman had a near-fatal accident. In an effort to save her life, the doctor had to inject a hazardous drug. It left her with a neurological problem, and she might expire.
That sounds grim. Can we switch over? I want to see the Jane Bond take up a perilous mission to rescue a law enforcement officer who has bitten off more than he can chew. She's about to encounter an intruder who is hiding in her wardrobe.
Just give me 5 more minutes. I want to know how the hospital drama turns out.
Dialogue 1. Ben and Tom are talking about university.
Hey, Tom, what's up? I've seen you devote a lot of time to that list. What are you doing?
I'm trying to draw up a list of universities to apply to. I don't want to rush into a decision, so I've put together a set of criteria for consideration.
So which university is the best candidate?
Well, I've all but decided on Brown University. I don't want to boast, but I have a high GPA, I'm ambitious, and I'd be willing to study hard.
You're also very organized. I have yet to gear up for a university application. All these choices bewilder me. I must get some brochures quickly.
At this stage of the year, you should be thinking seriously about it. Don't dwell on it for too long and expect to get into the best universities. That would be naive.
Dialogue 2. Ben and Tom talk about Brown University.
Can you tell me something about the university you're applying to?
Well, it has an excellent academic reputation and a time-honored tradition stretching back to the 18th century. If you go to Brown, you're sure to prosper in the future, and that's a great incentive. You'll also meet a lot of intellectual people. Here, I've got 2 of these brochures. Take one for reference.
It sounds ominously serious. Do the students have any fun?
Sure. You live in residence halls. They're old, but they've undergone renovation, and they're really comfortable and secure against theft. They're sociable places, and you can get acquainted with a lot of people. Reportedly, you can take part in all kinds of campus events. It also has a great basketball team.
I like that part. I'm a keen player. It's a shame about my GPA, though. I'm sure you'll sail through, but if I apply, it's questionable whether they'll take me. In fact, I think they'd snub me.
Ben and Amy discuss university.
Hey, Amy, you went to university out in the remote countryside, didn't you?
Are you thinking about university at last? Ben, I'm taken aback. In fact, you amaze me. I didn't think you'd ever get around to considering your future.
Don't be so cynical. I need some advice here. Which is better, a city or country university, in terms of life and study balance?
Okay, to be serious, I favor a rural university. Contrary to what you might think, at the place I went to, isolation was not a problem. Because you see the same people every day, you get to mingle with everyone. It provided great opportunities to socialize.
So, do you think I should opt for a rural university?
I don't think that's the crucial issue. To my mind, academic excellence should outweigh a friendly atmosphere. But it depends on your objective.
Hey, sis, you know me. I want to pursue basketball more than my studies.
It's no joke, Ben. If you go to an unremarkable or even mediocre university, you may regret it later in life.
Dialogue 1. Ben and fellow student Tom discuss essays.
Wow! Ben is reading a book! Are you trying to get acquainted with Shakespeare, Ben? I thought you said he was a big yawn.
He is, but I have to write an analytical essay on Shakespeare's verse for my English literature class. All I have is this biographical work on his life history, which is useless. Neither literature nor literacy is my strong point. They perplex me. I need your expertise, Tom.
Don't abandon hope. With my help, you can sail through this. You just need to cultivate a good writing style.
Okay, shoot. I'm sure it will be a revelation.
First, go to the library, get 2 books relevant to your chosen verse, and speed-read potentially useful chapters. Next, don't scribble, but take legible notes and write an overview of the verse and contrast the opinion of each critic. Then go to a cafe and get a coffee and a donut.
I am skeptical about that part. Surely that's irrelevant.
No, it isn't. The break gives you time to absorb the information. When you return to the library, you can sum up the ideas and add your personal insight.
So that's why you always get an A.
You'd better believe it.
Dialogue 2. Ben and Amy talk about his grade.
Hi, Ben. You're looking pleased with yourself.
I got an A for my English essay. You may applaud my exceptional achievement.
Ben, you hate English literature. You're not even a proficient reader.
It's all a matter of strategy, Amy. My essays don't ramble on anymore. They are sensitive but concise. Tom told me how to organize my ideas properly and transform garbage into gold.
Don't exaggerate, Ben. You've only written one good essay.
If I abide by Tom's advice and take sufficient care, my essays should always be satisfactory from now on. One day, I might even upstage Tom.
I hope so, but don't show off, Ben. Being arrogant doesn't suit you.
Dialogue 1. Ben and Tom discuss how university requires you to be an individual.
You look gloomy, Ben. Has the professor given you an enormous workload again?
Not exactly. The professor says I can write about anything I like from the whole of 20th century literature. I was taken aback when I heard that.
What a great problem. But seriously, I can grasp what you're saying. Too much freedom can paralyze you.
Yes, people assume it's easier, but there are so many things I want to write about, I can't make a decision. It's gotten so bad I dread getting up in the morning. Help me, I'm desperate.
Sorry, Ben, I can't help you this time.
Huh?
The prof wants us to analyze independently. The idea is to foster an attitude of individuality and self-reliance. This is what being American is all about. You'll soon get into the habit of choosing your own titles.
Maybe, but meanwhile I need help. Look, there's the professor. I'd better go and schedule a consultation with him.
Dialogue 2. Ben and Tom discuss fraternities.
What are those weird letters on that building, Tom? Are they Russian?
They're Greek, Ben, and they signify that it's a fraternity house.
What, you mean one of those clubs where you all live together, drink beer, and have parties all the time? Hey, someone's dancing by the window. Let me take a closer look.
Don't snoop, Ben. Fraternities aren't all like that. Some are scholarly, and apparently they can be kind of snobbish.
They say there's a fraternity to suit every personality. I avoid fraternity types, though. I'm not very sociable. I don't have an empathy with groups. I always speak my mind and tend to fall out with people.
I think you're a rebel at heart. But not me. I thrive in groups. May I remind you that I was on every sports team in high school? Just sign me up for one of those fraternities. They definitely appeal to me.
You don't sign up. The members have a democratic vote, and if they like you, you're in.
You apply to a fraternity you have something in common with and hope they're receptive to the kind of person you are.
Dialogue 1. Amy and Ben's parents are hiking in the countryside.
We've reached the summit at last! What a dramatic view of the mountain terrain!
Phew! I barely made it. We're aging, Mel. That was one hard workout. All my muscles are in revolt. I didn't know we were going to embark on an attempt at Everest.
Nonsense! It was just a brisk walk. You just need to build up your endurance.
I acknowledge that, but I just don't have time to exercise during the week.
In that case, let's just go hiking regularly. Doing this kind of exertion on consecutive weekends is bound to make you fit.
Maybe we could try that. Maybe one day this will seem like a stroll.
Dialogue 2. Amy and Ben's parents check into a hotel.
Hello. We haven't booked, but we were wondering if you have a room vacant.
Yes, we do. Is it just for one night?
Yes, please. By the way, do you have anything for a sprain? I overdid the hiking today.
Let me see. Oh, we've run out of bandages. I'll slip out in a few minutes and get you some.
Thank you. This place looks beautiful, and we love the serene setting. May I ask about that plaque on the wall?
That honors the notable poet William Wordsworth. He wrote his famous poem to daffodils at this hotel. That is our heritage. There's an excerpt of the poem on the wall. Read it if you have time. It might inspire you. When you leave tomorrow, you will pass by the place where he wrote it. It's a very scenic sight, and it can convey a sense of solitude.
We'll do that, and drink in the atmosphere. By the way, what time do you serve breakfast?
From 7 until 8 o'clock. Is that okay for you?
Yes, that's fine. We always get up reasonably early. Now I'm looking forward to a soothing bath.
Dialogue 1. The couple discuss a mugging and theft.
Home, sweet home. Hey, what's been going on here? Mel, did you scatter my belongings all over the room? And why is that kitchen appliance on the floor? You don't have to express your annoyance with me like that. Just tell me what I did wrong.
Dave, we've been burgled. Look, there's the imprint of a filthy shoe on the floor. The TV's gone. And even worse, the thief took my adorable teddy bear.
Oh, well, the bear's hardly a catastrophe. We can get an identical toy, and the insurance company will pay.
But you don't understand. That bear was one of a kind. It belonged to my great-grandmother. It's worth a fortune.
Look, they've taken my authentic Brad Pitt autograph.
Oh, dear. I know how much you cherish that. Well, at least they didn't get our safe.
No, that would devastate our financial situation. There's a lot of money in that safe, not to mention confidential documents. We might have gone bankrupt. The combination lock must have been a deterrent.
Dialogue 2. The couple report the break-in.
I'll just jot down the details. May I inquire why you're reporting a stolen teddy bear?
It's not just an ordinary bear. It's been given a valuation of $2,000.
I see. Didn't it cross your mind to keep it in the safe?
No, we have a good alarm system. Or so I thought.
I see. Well, a suspicious character was seen in your garden who's wanted for the crime of shoplifting. He may have been a prison inmate who escaped. If we can capture him, I think we'll be able to get a subsequent prosecution and retrieve your valuables for you. But we mustn't be hasty. The next step is to seal off the room to dust for fingerprints. That will indicate if our suspect is the thief. Then we'll get a testimony from your neighbor who was a witness.
We'd certainly appreciate it if you could wrap up this case as soon as possible.
Dialogue 1. A family argument starts over who is to use the computer.
Is it okay to delete this file on the computer?
Don't touch that! I'm in the middle of a report on local wildlife from my biology class.
Then why are you lying on the sofa in a drowsy stupor watching TV? I can't just stand by and wait for you. My report has to go out this evening, and I'm sitting here till I finish.
Amy, there's no need for such an outburst. This stubborn trait in your character certainly doesn't come from my side of the family.
Are you assuming it comes from mine? I resent that accusation.
Don't look at me like that. Okay, I'm sorry.
Dad, can we get another PC?
You can have 100 PCs as long as you foot the bill. You get pocket money, don't you?
Yeah, but I'd have to save up for 1,000,000 years. Amy can get her own. She's working.
Ben, you really irritate me. I'm saving up for an apartment. Dad, tell him.
There's no need to turn this into a crisis. You can use the computer alternately, switching over every 30 minutes. Problem solved.
Dialogue 2. A busy Saturday afternoon.
Dave, do you have time to go to the supermarket? We need some milk, eggs, and avocados.
Sure. Just let me finish working on the car. It's been giving us a rough ride recently, but I think I can clear up the problem if I tighten up the suspension before I go.
Okay. And could you take the trash with you when you go? The white and black bags are for combustibles and non-combustibles, respectively.
I'd better write this down.
Could you also tell Ben to clean up the clutter in his room? I want him to stick to a routine of tidying up regularly, not just during the annual spring cleaning. He's letting a vast pile of clothes accumulate on the floor. You can't get past the entrance. I wish he would tidy up his room voluntarily, but he tends to brush off any criticism.
Right. So I'm to fix the car, take out the trash, and tell Ben off. Is that all?
Yes. Just one last thing. Could you mail this check for me? It's the remittance for a new magazine subscription. After that, you can snatch a few winks on the sofa.
Dialogue 3. The family discusses the possible hosting of an exchange student.
Would anyone like to have a foreign student stay over during summer vacation? She's a high school student who lives just outside Paris. She speaks English fairly fluently, but needs to brush up for an exam.
That could be fun. I propose we say yes.
She could sleep in the attic room. It's been vacant since my friend Michael came to stay last year. I could get some new curtains tomorrow and put them up.
Thanks, Ben. You're showing initiative there.
Does she like horses? It would be fun to go horseback riding together.
Hold on. In the first place, we don't know anything about her. She might be quite indifferent to horses. She might hate the countryside and only want to walk on asphalt. We should wait and see what she's like.
I'm sure your concerns are groundless, but maybe we should heed your advice. All relationships involve compromise. On the upside, we can enjoy the anticipation. If there are any problems, we'll just have to work around them.
In any case, I'll call the agency and verify the terms of the program.
Dialogue 1. Mel and Dave meet the exchange student at the airport.
Did you hear them announce our exchange student's flight just now? It was barely audible from over here, but I did hear something. Keep a lookout for her. She must be curious about us, too. Do you think she feels any apprehension?
It's hard to say. Hey, do you think that girl emerging from the arrivals is her?
I'm dubious about that. She looks too young.
But she's tall, with red hair, just like in the picture. I envy that beautiful hair. Bonjour!
Bonjour! Are you Mr. and Mrs. Taylor? I am Hannah.
Hello, Hannah. Just call us Dave and Mel. There's no need for formality. Did you have a good flight?
Yes, thank you. The captain flew so that the plane could pass over the Eiffel Tower. I got a great view. The security procedure here is confusing. I've been to this country before, but never experienced such complexity.
Well, safety is important. Anyway, Hannah, your English is astonishing. It's better than mine.
Come on, let's take Hannah to meet our offspring. We left them in the airport cafe, so we'd better retrace our steps there. Then I want to push on home.
Dialogue 2. The exchange student meets Amy and Ben.
It's kind of tedious sitting here without my DS. I hope she turns up soon.
Do you never let up? You have a shallow personality and a severe attention deficit problem. If you whine anymore, I'm going to leave.
Hey, who's that beautiful girl with Mom and Dad? She must be the exchange student. Come on, let's say hello. I hope this coffee stain on my shirt isn't too noticeable.
Wow, I've never seen anyone swap a scowl for a smile so quickly. You're suddenly very amicable. It's just a little pathetic.
This is my daughter Amy and my son Ben.
It's very nice to meet you. My name is Hannah.
It's nice to meet you, Hannah. Do you like horses? I go riding sometimes. Please come.
I worship horses. I must warn you, however, that I am accident prone.
If I may venture an opinion, a good tip when riding horses is to act confidently. If you waver, they may seize up or become nervous.
I'll try to remember.
Dialogue 3. The exchange student talks with Ben.
Hi, I'm Ben. Je suis fatigué.
Oh, are you tired? Or perhaps run down?
I am sorry to hear that.
Here, sit down in this chair.
No, I mean, j'ai faim.
You're hungry? Do you yearn for something to eat? I will summon a waiter. Waiter?
Actually, you should say, do you want something to eat? But no, I'm trying to say, it's nice to meet you.
Oh, you could try enchanté.
Thank you, Anna, for coming to Ben's aid. He has studied all too little at school, as you can see.
Ben, your French is rather peculiar, but you're hilarious. I think you'd better revert to English for now, though. Maybe next year we'll send you to France. I think a bit of French study would pay off.
What's this? The Anti-Ben Alliance? I'll have you know I studied French attentively. With Hannah's help, I will soon be an articulate French speaker.
Remember that Hannah is here to speak English, not French. If she can improve her English capability even more, she can study at a distinguished French university. We must encourage her to speak at every opportunity.
Dialogue 1. Mel and Dave discuss Mel's weight.
If I wear this long shirt, does it conceal my stomach?
Not really. Try a different pose.
Oh, it's no good. I think I've got metabolic syndrome.
I don't even know what that is. Don't get paranoid, honey. You shouldn't be obsessed about your weight.
The health guidelines say my weight is borderline obese.
But there's a lot of variability in people's body types. You look fine to me.
Not to me. What can I do?
You could opt out of the desserts we have after dinner and have a slice of apple instead. But after watching you polish off that cheesecake yesterday, I don't imagine you'll do that.
I know. I just can't restrain myself. I always give in to temptation, and I just can't get by without my dessert. I think it's genetic.
Metabolic syndrome? Genetics? You perplex me, Mel. How about if you pledge to give $100 to charity if you don't lose weight? That would motivate you.
I don't know.
Or better still, scrap the idea of a diet altogether and get in shape by jogging every day.
Dialogue 2. Mel goes on a diet.
Would you like some cheesecake, Mel? I've just baked it. It's fresh out of the oven.
Did you say cheesecake?
Yep.
Nope. You cannot tempt me. I am immovable. I have decided to renounce anything containing sugar. I will beat obesity.
What an aroma. It could intoxicate anyone. I think I'll have a slice now. Are you sure you won't have any?
That's a sly trick, Dave. Stop trying to tempt me. You're outrageous. I won't take the bait. I am not a pushover.
I don't want to play on your vulnerability. All I did was cordially invite you to have some cheesecake.
If you weren't my husband, I would sue you. I am not... cheese. No, never.
What? Did you mumble something? This tastes good.
Wait a minute. What did you say earlier about exercise being better than dieting?
If you exercise, your metabolic rate rises, and that burns off the fat.
Okay, you win. I can't hold out any longer. Give me that cheesecake. I will make a solemn promise to go jogging. In fact, I'll put on my jogging shoes later and hit the trail over the hill to the next village.
Good idea. Don't trespass on Farmer Jones' land, though. There's a big sign on his gate forbidding anyone from entering.
I don't intend to go anywhere near Farmer Jones' field. Now hand me that cheesecake.
Dialogue 1. Amy gets smart.
Joshua, can I confide in you?
Of course. What's up?
Our president got mad at me yesterday. He told me to smarten up my appearance.
How could he do that? He's in New Delhi this week.
Yeah, he lives a nomadic lifestyle. He's visiting a plantation there to see how our installment of pumping equipment is working. Anyway, I had a video conference with him from my laptop at home. It was midnight for me, so I was wearing a t-shirt and jeans. He complained. I was shocked, and that made me blurt out that I didn't think business etiquette extended to video chat. But he thought otherwise, and I had to give in.
He's probably sleeping fitfully from the jet lag and is in a bad mood. Don't forget it was daytime for him, and he was wearing his suit. He just expected everyone else to be in office clothes, too.
Well, I think that's absurd. I hate video chat.
It's necessary technology.
I mourn the days of the telephone when no one could see you. Since the adoption of all this new technology, my life has gotten worse. Now I can't hide anywhere.
I hear you. Now that you can video chat from your cell phone, you're visible 24/7. But you need to be more mellow, Amy, or you'll have a breakdown.
When I get to be president, I'll be more considerate. You've heard of Dress Down Friday. Well, I will amend the rules to Dress Down Monday to Friday. We won't have to bother with clothes and appearance at all.
You'd better bend to the boss's will, or you'll forever be a mere underling.
Wear nice clothes or face a bleak future. Okay, I get it. I'll stay quiet while I climb the ladder.
Dialogue 2. Joshua lends a hand and a computer. You look tense, Amy. Are you all right?
I have to catch a train to Boston where I've got to give a presentation at an executive meeting. We want to bid to buy up a bankrupt factory so that we can manufacture our new product. Nominally, it will be a joint venture, but in fact, the factory will be wholly our own subsidiary. I need time to lay out the presentation and run through my slides.
Why not do it on the train? You can borrow my laptop computer if you like. Here you go.
Thanks, Joshua. You're a lifesaver. I love the clarity of the screen. I need to access the internet, though.
This will sort you out.
What is it? It looks like a bar of chocolate. I don't understand this stuff at all. Maybe I need to take some classes, though I'd rather not have to pay tuition.
That's a modem. Plug it into the side of the computer here, and you can connect anywhere, except for tunnels, of course, where the signal won't penetrate.
What's this little flashing icon?
That's the firewall. It comes on automatically so that a virus won't infect the computer.
I love it. Thanks, Josh. I'm indebted to you.
That's no problem. You can pack it away in this cloth case. Just be sure to bring me back a memento of Boston.
How about a bottle of Boston bourbon as a token of my appreciation?
I'd like that, but it's too expensive for a souvenir. I tell you what, buy it for me anyway, and I'll settle up with you later.
Don't be silly. It's the least I can do. See you then, and root for me.